This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest region of the country dealing with severe weather, the Northeast. A state of emergency declared in New Jersey. In New York City, several subway stations flooded as the rain fell. The White House signaling a huge shift on Ukraine. President Trump now says sophisticated U.S. weapons will be distributed to NATO, who will pay for them and send them to Kyiv. ABC contributor Mick Mulroy.
We now understand that it is Russia who not only, of course, started the war, but Russia who will not accept the U.S. proposed ceasefire, and it appears has no intention to stop this war. In fact, they're increasing their attacks not only against Ukrainian military targets, but civilians and civilian infrastructure.
The president also says severe tariffs will be imposed on Russia if there is not a ceasefire within at least 50 days. Dozens of ice cream makers are now promising to get rid of artificial dyes in their products. Some candy companies, including the maker of brightly colored M&Ms, are resisting. This is ABC News.
4WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Another juvenile has died as the result of a UTV accident. Thursday morning at approximately 10 o'clock, the Grant County Sheriff's Office was notified of the crash involving a juvenile on private property off of Hurricane Road in South Lancaster Township. The initial investigation determined that the juvenile was the lone occupant in the UTV and was performing farm chores when the juvenile lost control of the UTV, causing it to roll onto its side. The juvenile was not utilizing any safety equipment and was ejected from the UTV and pinned underneath. The juvenile was pronounced dead at the scene by the Grant County Coroner. The Grant County Sheriff's Office was assisted at the scene by the Grant County Coroner's Office, Lancaster EMS, Lancaster Fire Department, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will continue to investigate the crash. An investigation by Wisconsin's Elections Commission has concluded that unlawful actions by Madison's former city clerk led to nearly 200 absentee ballots going uncounted in the 2024 presidential election. The report released Wednesday accuses Mary Beth Witzel-Bell of violating five election laws, including mishandling absentee ballots. Whether she is actually charged with any crimes would be up to the Dane County District Attorney. Two bags of uncounted ballots were discovered weeks after the election, but the clerk's office delayed notifying officials. Witzel-Bell resigned in April. The commission will vote on the report's findings and recommendations on July 17th. The Boscobel Pool Fundraising Committee will host a picnic in the park tonight from 4 to 7 at Crown Sage Park in the Gene Larson Shelter. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers add more players. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers have wrapped up their picks in the Major League Baseball draft. Milwaukee adding 22 new players to the organization, 8 position players, and 14 pitchers. The All-Star game is tonight in Atlanta. The Brewers' Freddy Peralta there along with closer Trevor McGill.
I'm pretty fired up, that's for damn sure. Just happy to be around this clubhouse, you know, and great group of guys to enjoy this with, that's for damn sure.
I asked rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski what was his favorite All-Star game to watch growing up. The Miz says it was the one he saw in person back in 2012 in his hometown at the age of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the one in Kansas City. What, that would have been 12? 12, there you go. I remember going to that and seeing that, and I thought it was the coolest thing that all the big stars were in one place. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
That's Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
It is going to be sunny, warm, and humid today. Our high right around 88 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear and muggy. Our low down to around 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time will be our first leg of our tour with Jane and Greg at their home at Radio City Park in Racine, along with Zommers and Kringle. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, July 15th, 2025. Parker Olson produces this fine show, and he is standing by in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along in just a sec, followed by State Senator Jamie Wall from the Green Bay area. We talked to State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner yesterday from the Green Bay area, and we talked about the state budget. It was, of course, a very bipartisan affair with Republicans and Democrats voting yes and no for various reasons. Representative Rivera-Wagner was a no and explained why. Senator Wall was a yes and tells us about the positive things that were in the budget. That's coming up in just a bit. But first, let's check in with meteorologist Brittany Merlot for what appears to be one very hot, sticky day. This is like a Nashville chicken hot honey kind of day. It's that much heat and stickiness bringing to the day, right?
Yeah. I like the way you put it. It adds a little glaze to the situation.
Yeah, everybody's going to have a little glaze when they come in from outdoors.
Tasty.
Hopefully without the pickles. I'm not a pickle guy. I don't order the Nashville stuff because they throw pickles on it. So give me the hot honey chicken. I don't need the pickles. But
the pickles do throw it off just a little bit, in my opinion, as well. I agree.
And frankly, if there were pickles in the weather, you know, that would be another thing too. But instead,
that would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying. Instead,
it's raining pickles.
Raining pickles. Hallelujah. No, it's not like that at all. It's just going to be steamy and sticky, Brittany.
It sure is. Yes, a very, very hot one. We're looking at temperatures pretty much near 90 across the state, mid-80s. Absolutely. That's what you're hitting today. Plus the humidity on top of that, the heat index is really going to be feeling more like those mid-90s for a lot of us, low 90s for some of us. I mean, this morning it's already 75 degrees in Siren. And then, of course, you go by Lake Superior, it's about 63 degrees. So we're already starting off with a mild morning. We've got a ton of sunshine out there. There's only a few clouds far, far northwest up towards Lake Superior area. Those are going to start to build and spread a little bit more in towards the state, but staying into the northwestern parts of the corner because we've got a front that is just lining up there and stalling there tonight. But then by tomorrow, this low pressure system starts to push down south and it kind of swings some storms and some heavy rainfall as we go into our Wednesday for the rest of the state. So we've got a wet section of the week ahead, but today is definitely going to be a hot and dry one.
Or as Rob puts it from Tigerton, Louisiana swamp weather in Wisconsin today.
Mosquitoes everywhere.
Yep. Good morning from Tigerton, Rob says. It's sunny, hazy, 68. Yesterday I mowed 4 yards in the Wittenberg area. Took an hour lunch at Brianna's in Wittenberg to enjoy the air conditioning. Yeah. Today I've got a mow in Tigerton. I had to stock up on lots of Gatorade just to stay hydrated. It's like Rob knows exactly what Brittany's going to say. And if Greg Bach would burst through that wall like the Kool-Aid man right now if he could, to tell Rob to stay hydrated. And Rob goes on to say, I really appreciate the people that work in the field to teach people with developmental disabilities because I was on the receiving end of their services and appreciated their help on this Developmentally Disabled Professionals Appreciation Day. So again, thanks to all those folks for all that you do.
Absolutely.
Not as smoky, thankfully, from the Canadian wildfires. The discomfort is just all ours. It's just the natural discomfort that we feel. Instead,
much.
In
we
there,
just go from yes. one to the other, though, you know.
Yeah. But it's I was mentioning night. How yesterday it was, you know, hot, and a lot of folks were on the lake. Either they were vacationing or just, you know, some of the local kids on summer vacation. But there were a lot of people that said, "Let's just get on the jet ski or any boat and anything that gets the water churning and puts a little moisture up there. Not the kind that you sweat in, but the kind that makes you feel better, you know?
The refreshing kind, yes.
The refreshing kind, yes. So
the sprinkler.
I expect it's going to be another noisy one on the lake today. Thank you, Brittany. We'll check back with you in an hour.
Sounds good.
As always, a reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletters at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but so happy to have this morning partnership every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. You can sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi. Don't forget the wi.com, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. Among the things that we also have are a Sunday newsletter that I put together, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about Wisconsin politics. And I have to say that our question of the week has really tapped into something lately. And it isn't all about Zoran Mamdani, the Democratic nominee who is the next mayor apparent in New York City, but AOC from New York City, Bernie Sanders, certainly other folks, there are people in our legislature now who describe themselves as Democratic socialists. And for some people, that is really off-putting, feeling like they are going to turn off all the moderates and it's going to cost Democrats elections. And there are plenty of others who go, no, this is what we needed. This is a breath of fresh air. No squeamish Democrats. These are folks that are saying, look, these are our values. This is what we absolutely want to do. And then there are those in the middle that say, hey, there's room for both. There's room for centrists. There's room for people who describe themselves as Democratic socialists or far left, whatever you want to call it. And so we asked, what's your opinion on this? Now, I haven't tallied up the results fully yet, but I bring this up because it really did bring in a lot of responses right away all over the place. I mean, if you just go by the A, B, C, or D, and I'll tell you the D answer in a minute here. They are all over the place. There is here's Don here who votes for the big tent. There's room for all, where he says we need to have room for an open discussion of issues. Let's see. There's one here that also says big tent, but Liz says Dems must have a coherent, simple, values-based message, not just anti-Trump. After all, Mamdani won on the topic of affordable housing. And then there's C, who says, nope, option C is, nope, don't go too far to the left. Dawn says, let us not forget past losses due to far-left idealism, a.k.a. Bernie Sanders. And so on it goes. So we'd love to know your opinion. You can be a subscriber to our Sunday newsletter simply by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the top banner. Or if you just want to weigh in on this question, send us a note. Radio@upnorthnewswi.com is our email address. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or, of course, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, just put a little something in the comment section right there. All right, State Senator Jamie Wahl joins us now from the Green Bay area. We'll talk about the state budget and more. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Hey, nice to have you here. Let's just get right into the way that I started off the segment here, saying that for the state budget bill that passed last week, there were both Democratic and Republican votes, both for and against, for various reasons. You came down on the side of voting yes, although you were quick to add in your statement that hardly makes this a perfect document. Tell us why, in the end, you came down on the side of voting for it.
Sure. Well, look, this was not the budget I would have written, but you don't get everything you want in life all the time. And, you know, fundamentally, if you want a budget that's going to reflect the prior needs of the Democratic Party, you need to have Democrats in the majority in the legislature, and we don't have that. But we found ourselves, or I found myself as a Democrat in the Senate with some unexpected leverage, because it turns out that the Republicans in the Senate are internally divided and were not able to come together around a plan of their own. Okay. So that left us with a couple options. We could have thrown up our hands and walked away and said, this is not the budget we would have written, or we could do what we did, which was come to the table and make it better. One thing that really influenced my thinking was that the state would have lost more than $1 billion in federal Medicaid funding if we hadn't been able to beat the Trump budget to the punch. That's why you saw Governor Evers signing the budget in the middle of the night. And I've gotten an education in my brief time in the legislature from people who depend on the Medicaid program. I mean, it's not just folks that don't have a lot of means. It's seniors in nursing homes who've exhausted all their other income. It's kids with disabilities and their parents. I mean, it's rare that I run into a family like that where one of them doesn't pull me aside and say, look, my kid is on Katie Beckett or some other Medicaid program, and I really would appreciate it if you go to bat for us. And I took that seriously. So in my mind, the alternatives were worse. It was either that we were going to walk away and have no budget at all, which is basically what we have minus the good things that we were able to get in there, or that they were going to, the Republicans were going to get organized and pass some hard right document that catered to the most extreme numbers. And neither of those were a win. So I took the wins in front of us, and I think that was the right thing to do.
Do you feel like, without getting everything that you wanted, because again, that's part of what politics is, and sure, the governor certainly knows that as well, those things that didn't happen, do they basically just become the platform that you run on and that Democrats run on in 2026, is to say, look, these things weren't in, you vote for us, this is what's going to come next time around? Or do you look at other factors and you don't worry about what didn't make it into the budget?
Well, look, there were a lot of good things in the budget that we were able to improve. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we saved the state's child care industry from a crisis. Governor Evers had used some federal money to help prop up our daycare centers through the pandemic. Those funds were expiring. We had surveys that told us that maybe a quarter of all the daycare centers in the state were going to go out of business, and think of the impact that has on kids and their families, really in the Wisconsin workforce. This is the best budget for the UW system in a generation. And we were, you know, in the middle of conversations about whether we would need to closed four-year colleges, and now we are emphatically not in that territory, and that's a win for the students and, again, the future workforce of our state. The one area in which I wish we could have done more was K-12 education. We actually put record increases in special education funding in the budget, because that's what every school district administrator in the state had told us to do. But $500 million doesn't go as far as you think across the state, and some school boards are going to be facing tough choices as a result of this. So that's at the top of my list for something we need to do better at next time, by our kids and, you know, by our property taxpayers as well, because if districts go to referendum, what they're doing is transferring school funding down into the local property tax levy instead of onto the state tax base, which is bigger and more diverse.
All right. And then finally, now that the budget is passed, what else would you like to get accomplished in upcoming sessions, either this fall or early next year before the next round of elections?
Look, what I heard from my voters last year in the campaign and in the last 6 months in office is that they're concerned about the cost of living. So I'm focused myself on a number of bills that are going to help with that. We'll be rolling out one in a couple weeks now that is going to help school districts and their health insurance costs. I've got several others that pertain to different ways to make housing more affordable. My gosh, you know, Green Bay is not Manhattan or even Madison in terms of housing costs, but we were, I think, seventh in the country last year in how much our costs increased here, and people have sure noticed. So there are different levers there with the building code, with zoning, with giving local governments a few more tools that they can use to promote housing development. So that's one area I'm focused on.
It's interesting that Josh Shulman, the Washington County executive candidate for governor, we played back an interview from him last hour, and he too cited affordable the cost of housing. So it's clearly something that everybody's aware of. The solutions are another matter, and I'm sure there'll be differences when we talk about that next time around. State Senator Jamie Wall from Green Bay, thank you so much for the visit and the update on the budget bill. We appreciate it so much.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pat.
All right, Jamie, thank you again. A local update is next for some of you. Others will join me along with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and later, Hans Breitenmoser. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissona, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Janet Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
I'm Joanne Krulatz in for Phil Nee on this morning's edition of the morning show on WRCO. And we have in the studio Richland Center Police Chief Billy Jones. And he's here actually representing a new 501c3, the Richland County National Night Out. And you serve on that committee, don't you?
I do, Joanne. Thanks for having me. I'm actually the treasurer for the new nonprofit that we established this year. Actually started working on it in August of 24. It's been a trip, that's for sure. Something new for me. But established the National Night Out nonprofit, and we're pushing forward to continue our work in the community. And can you continue our partnership with between law enforcement, first responders, fire, EMS, all of that included, to build relationships with our community partners?
Now, this was actually started by Partners for Prevention, and then you've been kind of taking leadership of it to make it self-sustainable after Partners for Prevention no longer gets there, because they're only qualified for 10 years for the the grant.
Correct. Yep, yep. And so we've ran this the last 4 years in partnership with Partners for Prevention, Bessie Raitsler, yourself. It's been a great partnership. But yeah, we just kind of started to take it over because we want to be self-sustaining, like you said. So, you know, we're out there maybe asking for a few donations, applying for some grants on our own. Just getting the program up and running, and hopefully Richland County National Night Out is here to stay for a lot of years into the future.
And this isn't the first committee to establish its own 501c3 to hold a national night out, is it?
No, not at all. Vernon County actually has a very, very good and flourishing national night out committee. And I've actually reached out to some of their board members, stalked them online and watched their Facebook page to see how they kind of do things. Just kind of learned as we went.
What is the purpose of National Night Out?
So National Night Out is about bringing community and first responders together. It's an outreach to show the community that law enforcement, firemen, firefighters, EMS, we're all just like everybody else. We're normal people. We're down to earth. We're just out here to help people as much as we possibly can in any way, shape, or form, and to give back to the community and just build that partnership. National Night Out is about bringing the community out, kind of showcasing some of the equipment we have. We bring in vendors from all sorts of other organizations throughout the community, usually care organizations, they set up booths. They kind of show and talk about what their certain organizations do, and what help that they can give out to the community. And then we have them bring little games and little trinks and trinkets, and they come on out, and the kids and the families can kind of go around and speak to individuals during the event on August 5th, and just see what the community has to offer.
Now you said that you're treasurer, you have a board, you have a committee. That's well represented among all the law enforcement and emergency services, isn't it?
It is. It is. So our vice president is actually Sheriff Clay Porter. He's the vice president of the National Night Out Committee. You bring the radio background in and our public notice information center. You're the president. We have Derek Goplin he's the captain of EMS, of emergency government. He's the secretary. And then, like I stated, I'm the treasurer. We also have Scott Gald, who's the fire chief. He sits on the board. We have Betsy Raitsler. She sits on the board. Sheila Troxel, she's part of it. I know I'm missing a few people there, but Jess.
Jessica Huntemer.
Huntemer, thank you. Yep, she kind of coordinates our food, kind of does all of that stuff. And then Lydia Biba, she helps with our 5K. She's the organizer in the big background there. So yeah, it's just a bunch of community members that have been brought together over time, and each one of those members are passionate about helping out the community and being involved and making the best that we can make it.
The 5K seems to be your big fundraiser, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. Most of our donations and income that we receive each year is from our 5K. It's been well received. I think last year we had over 100 runners or close to it. And this year we're hoping to push that over the top and get a few more out there. So if you're one of those runners out there and just want to come out and have a great time and give back to a community organization, you can go online. You can go onto our Facebook page. There's a QR code on there. You can sign up for the 5K and make sure you got a spot.
Now your 5K too has even gone more professional, and that became a collaboration with
two other entities, didn't it?
Yeah, so Simons and Grace, we worked together and we bought a big timing system.
Anything else you'd like to share with your new endeavors here?
No, it's been a whirlwind. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate the board. I appreciate the community's outreach and gracious pouring of support. And we just really, really look forward to August 5th.
Well, thank you very much, Billy, for coming in.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing everybody August 5th at National Night Out.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Well, the market had a bumpy ride on Monday trying to figure out exactly what the newly announced tariffs may mean to agriculture exports. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and no doubt the tariff back and forth is continuing, and it's really impacting not only agriculture economy, but also the U.S. economy as a whole. Ted McKinney is the CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. He says right now that imbalance has to be rectified, and he believes that production agriculture is ready for a bumpy ride if there's better balance in the end.
Clearly, negotiations cannot be a highly public thing. So if they come forward as we hope they are, and they will, then I think we're going to be better off recognizing that we're having this bumpy period. There's no doubt, and the president told us that. We hope to get past this. I am hearing that negotiations are occurring with China. We want some element of that market. I think we can get there, but it's all under wraps. And so hang on, and then we can talk again.
Ted McKinney, he is the CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. He also reminds agriculture that we're not seeking unfair trade that's overly beneficial to the United States, just looking for fair trade. Well, the market still seems to have an upset stomach about the potential for these tariffs. Markets lower in overnight trade. Numbers are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Monday, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 167. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half, 164 and a half. Well, AA butter dropped a penny, 258 a pound. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 12 right now, 1731. December new crop corn's down a penny at 417. November new crop beans down a penny and a half at 1005. Right now, September wheat's down a penny and a half at 540 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where numbers stand so far on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
It is going to be sunny, warm, and humid today. Our high right around 88 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear and muggy. Our low down to around 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
hot seat. Just this one time. Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, Jim Santel. We'll discuss the big takeaways of the last term of the Supreme Court.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ready to do some road tripping with Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. They will be hitting the road starting tomorrow with stops in Oshkosh, Butternut, and Hayward. So join them, join Jane, Todd, Greg, all about sharing stories about what makes Wisconsin great. So catch the special road trip editions of Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show coming up starting tomorrow across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up on Todd's show today, he's actually broadcasting from the studios in Racine, and he will have, he'll be talking to, I guess Aaron Zommers will be there as well, making a special appearance in Racine. You're going to want to gather around, folks. And then on Maggie Dawn, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, will be a guest co-host. That's coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The latest crop report, or ag report, I guess you could call it, is in from the USDA for Wisconsin. Clearly, there's no drought anywhere. Nobody is reporting that they're very short on topsoil moisture. In fact, 20% report surplus moisture. Corn silking is at 13%. The soybeans are 44% blooming. Oh, but why stats when we can just go right to the source? We can go right to the farm up in Lincoln County. Hans Breitenmoser is standing by. He's got his corn. He's got his oats. He's got his soybeans. And he's got his cows. Hans, good morning. How are they all doing?
And I'm full of anecdotal evidence, so I don't have any actual facts and figures, but I can tell you what's going on up here and on my little farm.
And going well so far?
Yeah, yep. So okay. We're just going to start chopping our new seedings this morning. So in other words, the hay ground that we seeded down this spring with a nurse crop of forage oats mixed with alfalfa, clover, and some grasses that we planted this spring. We are going to take a first cutting of that here today.
That's quite the combination there. That sounds like, you know, like the ultimate trail mix if you're a cow. You know?
That is the ultimate trail mix if you're a cow. If you can get it early enough and so forth, it's very digestible and has lots of protein and should make some milk for us.
You ever mix peas in with your oats?
Yep, years ago we did that. We haven't done that for several years, but that's a forage crop that guys do, peas and oats. Yep.
The reason I ask is that my wife Sherry, who grew up on a farm, and occasionally there'd be oats and peas, and she'd talk about, you know, being able to go out into the field and get the peas, you know, right there out of the field. And a couple years back now, we're up to four grandkids now, but when we had our two grandsons, she showed them one time how to go out into the field, you know, amongst the oats and the peas and where to get the peas. And I tell you, every summer after that, when they'd go back to her parents' farm in Manitowoc County, they'd be like little piggies out there in the field, could not get enough of the fresh peas that were growing right there on the farm. And again, I mean, these are kids that have never lived on a farm, but when they get there, it is just so fun to watch them go, wow. These peas taste different than what comes in a can. Isn't that great?
Yeah, well, they are a little different, but the cows tend to like them as well. So.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, whenever the rare times that the field across the street here has some peas and oats, you might see Sherry sneaking over just to grab a little something here. Let's talk about the state budget again for a second because, and again, the real theme here is that there's something for everybody to like and something that anybody can not like. And there is an article in the Wisconsin State Farmer from the, you know, Gannett USA Today network. Colleen Kotke wrote it. And talked about the things that were in the state budget that agriculture advocates do like that are in there. Clearly, there are things missing as well. But Hans, as you were looking at that and thinking about what the legislature ended up doing, can we start by pointing to a couple of things that were positive developments in the state budget bill?
Sure. Yeah, I think the $30 million to county conservation staff was a plus. You know, I was on the county board here in Lincoln County for 10 years, and I was on the Land Services Committee, and I know that that staff does good work. It's important work. It's the kind of work that keeps our surface water and groundwater clean, keeps erosion from happening as much, and so forth. So I think that will be for rural counties, that's going to be a real plus and a welcome addition. I think also the three new staff for DADCAP is a good thing as well, because again, there's, you know, you can have programs, but without staff, how do you implement them, right? So those are things that I think were really important, and I'm glad they did get done.
So there were things that were in there, but there was a food security grant, there was a CDL driver training grant program, and things like that. But I know Wisconsin Farmers Union also said that there were some missed opportunities, like excluding a Wisconsin local food purchase assistance program from consideration in the budget. Did you see as well things like that that really could have, should have been in the budget and didn't make the final cut?
Well, I think LFPA is the thing, right? I mean, that was that just makes sense. It makes sense on all fronts. It makes sense for, dollars spent for food security for people and money going straight to farmers. So I'm really confused as to why that didn't make it in there, because it did seem to have some bipartisan support. And so that was definitely a disappointment. One thing that I don't know enough about that I probably should is that food security grant and what that's about, because $10 million is not a small amount of money. And so one wonders if that has the potential to make up some of the, some of what we're losing with LFPA. But, it's also unfortunate, too, when you have a program that works and you have staff there, doing it and so forth. To get rid of it and start something different, that's just perplexing to me. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and what I would say to that, first I'm gonna begin by saying this is speculative on my part, but let's start with childcare. We heard about how Republicans did not want to give Governor Evers a win in terms of childcare. Why? I have no idea. But they created a different way to fund childcare, which, again, had some funding, but it wasn't the same. And like you said, you have to learn certain things. And I'm seeing a parallel here in the LFPA, the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, that, again, is an opportunity to help strengthen local food sourcing. And instead, this food security grant program is $10 million to provide grants to nonprofit food banks in Wisconsin to buy locally grown and processed food for those in need. So, like you said, it may be similar, but the LFPA was a known thing. It was working. And if the only reason they didn't fund it is because Governor Evers wanted it, that would not be a good thing if that's true.
Well, yeah, but that also wouldn't surprise me. I mean, politics pure. But, at the risk of, trotting out cliches, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This was a thing that was not broke. Mm-hmm. And so with this new program, I would say the devil's in the details. And it'll be interesting to understand better, where that money's going to go. Because, I mean, I feel like LFPA did a good job in getting the dollars directly to farmers and getting the food directly from farmers to people, right? So it was straightforward, it was efficient, and it checked all the boxes. And so I'm cautiously optimistic, and I don't know enough about this food grant security deal to poo-poo it one way or the other. But if it is a situation where a lot of dollars are going to go to some distributor who happens to be located in Wisconsin but is getting food from all over and whatever else, well, then it definitely misses the mark. And we had a system that hit the mark real well. So that's what's a little frustrating for me.
So it certainly makes me want to find out who put that language in, who was behind it, right? What was their motivation? And again, I'm going to try to keep an open mind. But like you said, something was working already.
Yeah. Yep.
There was another story, coincidentally, also done by Colleen Kotke. I want to give her credit for this, which was about the increasing number of farmers and farm workers who are suing Bayer, the maker of Monsanto, a widely used herbicide. And obviously, there are a lot of cases of cancer and things happening with workers, with farmers. But Bayer, which makes Roundup, now facing more than 180,000 lawsuits around the country, has been pushing legislation at the state level that would shield the company from liability. And they're claiming that it's not, like blanket immunity, that it's just it provides some clarity in what these lawsuits are suing for. It certainly doesn't pass the smell test. In other words, I don't want to smell this because I might get cancer.
Yeah. No, that's dirty pool. I mean, if you're producing a product and there's hazards with it, then you have to be able to step up and defend it. But to try and change the rules on how the referee operates so that you don't have to defend it is total BS. And we should be calling BS on that. Roundup has been used for years and years and years. It's used a lot now. I think it's overused in my estimation. It has become this tool that farmers use, and farmers are going to use the tools at their disposal because we're especially corn and beans. They're very thin margin crops and so forth. So it's a herbicide that works, but I do feel like it's totally overused at this point. But beyond that, this issue has, in my estimation, as much to do with, big companies being able to write the rules to keep themselves protected as it does with this particular herbicide.
Yeah. And so right now, according to the article, the label on Roundup does not include warnings about potential cancer-causing effects or requirements to use personal protective equipment beyond regular clothing. And Bayer is saying, well, without this immunity, they may stop producing it and that would impact crops. But the article goes on to say, well, if Bayer stops making Roundup, what will happen is we'll get this from China instead, where, worker safety is not a thing. And we're basically just transferring, our cancer. We're outsourcing our cancer, essentially, is the way it sounds, when it would just be easier to properly label your stuff.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think there's the truth in labeling is a good thing, regardless if you're talking about, cigarettes or glyphosate or any other product. That to me has less to do with ag and more to do with just living in a free society where you can trust your government to do the right thing. But I mean, at the risk of going down a rabbit trail, Pat, I think, again, this has to do with how our politics is driven. And as long as it's driven by money, to the extent that it is, then that's when lousy legislation is going to come about, because it's coming from a bad place.
Yeah. Again, serve the people who voted for you, not the people who are giving to you.
I don't know how
we can make it any easier. And it's difficult to say what we need are more maverick Republicans who will stand up and say we should put these safety labels on, when that shouldn't be maverick behavior. That should be as bipartisan as it gets. And sadly, it is not. Hans Breitenmoser, as always, thank you so much for these stories and for all you do. You got a busy day ahead of you. Thanks so much for starting it with us.
You bet. Well,
I shouldn't say start it with us. You're like 3 hours into your day already, aren't you?
Silly. Yeah, it takes me a really long time to drink that first cup of coffee.
That's it. Yeah. Silly city boy. All right, Hans, thank you very much. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For others, we're going to have our new Way Up North segment Tuesday mornings at 7:50. And folks who are living up along Lake Superior, and we will be visiting with Jeff Renicky, executive director of the Friends of the Apostle Islands, and talk about Donald Trump's executive order attempting to whitewash the history of our national parks. And when we're all back together in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Dan Schaefer and by Chad Holmes. Remember, you can follow us at UpNorthNewsWI.com and, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As as Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Milwaukee Brewers play here all season long. Catch the game on us, WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
It's time to talk about all of the things that we can do to maybe keep you out of a jam. Consumer protection topics for July of 2025. Michelle Reinen joins us. Michelle, here we are into July. How can that be?
Yeah, how can that be? The summer's already running away from us, and it's just gotten started.
Absolutely. Past the 4th of July, it does seem to fly, that's for sure.
It does. And July is Military Consumer Protection Month, so we always have good things to talk about in protecting those who protect us.
Indeed. So let's talk about that a little bit. Anything you wanted to hit on initially about military consumers?
Well, the one thing is the Federal Trade Commission has identified that they filed more than 200,000 reports in 2024, and 31,000 of those reports indicated that those consumers had lost money. Those total monetary losses were more than $584 million, and that median loss report was $700. So that's pretty significant for individuals who are, you know, active duty service members, retired service members, veterans, and their families. We want to be sure that we're doing all we can to protect them. So we're highlighting housing-related scams and frauds that military consumers should be aware of that specifically target them because of their unique circumstances, distinct culture, and community that they are part of.
So it seems to me that, you know, obviously preying on those that have defended our country and whatnot, are some of these emails and texts and things like that, do they look legitimate, or how do they catch them?
Well, they certainly do. For example, the home loan scam. Many service members take advantage of the VA's home loan benefit, which may provide an opening for scammers, and that's them pretending to be representatives of the VA, another government agency, or a home loan servicer. They threaten military homeowners with foreclosures or other consequences. They demand that homeowners send money, refinance their home, agree to a loan modification, redirect mortgage payments to the scammers, or even sign over the title to their property. So warning signs is when the consumer is threatened with severe consequences if they don't immediately comply with the requester's demand, or if the organization wants to be paid with a gift card, cryptocurrency, payment app, or wire transfer, and or makes other unreasonable demands, really. And so never provide your personal information, and be alert to those email addresses and phone calls, because the caller IDs, the email addresses, it's all spoofing. That information can be faked. And so don't believe what you are seeing as that representational label from whom your communications are coming from.
What about housing rental scams?
Well, here we know many active duty service members, they live in off-base rental housing, and scammers also know this, and they advertise fake rental properties online and other discounts for members of the military. And because the service members usually can't physically visit the property until they move in, they may have already paid an application fee, security deposit, and rent before they realize the listing is even fake. So warning signs is what we have to watch for here. The too good to be true discounts for military service members, property owner demands payment before providing a tour of the unit, or a property owner claims they're moving or living elsewhere and offers to mail the home keys to a renter after receiving the payment. And here we hope that consumers seeking rental housing are skeptical of unrealistic low prices, like if the property rent is much lower than the area's average rent pricing, be cautious. Before paying any money, try and get a real live tour. In person is best, but if you can't, ask for a live virtual tour so you can really see the date and know that it's the same day. It's not just a video of someone else's property. And then if you have to pay money down, consider using an escrow service if upfront those fees are needed, because that can help protect the releasing of the money.
Some other things that you want to add in terms of military service members or anything, Michelle?
Well, there are resources to help these members find legitimate homes, whether they're buying or renting. Platforms like Military by Owner or the Automated Housing Referral Network, AHRN, and .mil, homes.mil, is also a resource that can just to help these service members and veterans when they're searching for those housing resources.
Another scam spotlight I was reading about, Medicare card replacement. What can you update us as far as that goes?
Well, this is the big scam between paper versus plastic, if you will. In this case, the card is only paper. There is no plastic option. So we've heard from Wisconsin consumers that have indicated they've been contacted by scammers pretending to be the Department of Administration with the state of Wisconsin and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. The scammers have offered to help the consumers upgrade to a new plastic Medicare card. And they've also reached out to consumers claiming that the consumer's paper Medicare card is expiring this year. But this is just a ploy to steal their private information.
Is that, would they ever contact you about doing that? Is that a legitimate thing that you need to replace your paper with plastic?
You only need to replace your card if it's lost, damaged, or compromised by a scammer. But the real Medicare cards are paper. They are not plastic. That's not an option. This is just like the other common tactics scammers use when they're trying to impersonate Medicare for assisting beneficiaries with enrolling in programs, filing paperwork, improving coverage, or finding savings. They come up with all sorts of gimmicks and reasons why they're reaching out, but a real government agency will not contact anyone by phone or to change their Medicare card.
Michelle Ryan, an administrator with Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection on today's morning show. Michelle, we'll talk to you in August then.
That sounds great. You take care.
You've been listening to WRCE's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 50 million people across the East Coast were hit with torrential downpours and damaging flash floods overnight. ABC's Mo Lange says the storm has moved on, but the transportation woes continue.
Major ripple effects being felt nationwide due to these storms. Nearly 1,500 flights have been impacted so far this morning, including flights in and out of Newark International Airport in New Jersey, LaGuardia in Queens, New York, and Reagan National Airport here just outside of Washington. Those are the most impacted airports.
In New York City, water gushed into subway platforms, causing some of the trains to stop. An investigation underway into the assisted living fire in Fall River, Massachusetts, that left 9 people dead and dozens hurt. Scrutiny over 2 fires burning in the Grand Canyon. The Park Service did not aggressively attack the flames right away. Now some are wondering why one of those fires destroyed the historic Grand Canyon Lodge. This hour, the government releasing new numbers on inflation. This is